Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to Chatterbox Video Game Radio, everybody, your only source for traditionally broadcast video game industry editorials. My name's Alon. Nate's here in the studio with me.
Hey, folks.
As always, we're here to talk about games for just about an hour on KFNX 1100 AM. Now, we have a wonderful show today. I want to start off by asking a question to everybody. We all hear a lot of stuff out of Microsoft, and of course, they've been in the news a lot lately because of their 360 out on the market. I'm curious what you all think about the Microsoft hype machine in general. And I'm assuming you know what I mean by that, because they put out a lot of basically everything with their alternate reality games, with Major Nelson's blog. I'm not trying to criticize any of these things independently, but as a whole, they put out a lot of news sort of on the down low in forums, in blogs, and everything. And I'm curious, has it become so much that now we look at it as a collective and decide really it's just a big marketing push? And now we can't believe any of it? Because that's how I started to feel. And I want to talk about that a little bit more later after I read an article last night. It's just, maybe it's because I was tired.
Maybe.
I don't know what it was. I just looked at it and I was real tired thinking, got to get this show ready for tomorrow. And I was doing it later than I'm supposed to. And I'm just like, wow, this guy's a jackass. So I want to talk about that a bit. What do you think of the hype machine? Feel free to call in later on the show when we open up the phones and let us know what you think. Now, aside from that question, we're going to have a good show. We've got Rebecca Swanner from Penthouse Magazine.
She does the electronics gaming section
of
the
every
magazine.
Month, it seems, lately, Penthouse has a whole video game section.
This issue is a little special.
Yes. The February issue went on stands earlier this month, and the Ultimate Guide to Sex Video Games. And we've talked about, you know, adult video games sort of hitting the scene now. And so she wrote up a whole sort of preview of a bunch of different games. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit, talk about her experience with Penthouse, and sort of bring her into the conversation about what we want to talk about today. So Nate's got a whole bunch of stuff he wants to talk about. I have some things myself, and we'll run into that a little bit later. Now, I tried to play a game last night. All right, now, this is where we talk about what we've been playing lately. I tried to play the game, if you guys are reading the blogs, the video game blogs, where they...
Oh, the I'm Okay game?
They mentioned the Jack Thompson game that... You know how before
his
Thompson,
modest proposal,
Thompson was like, here, make a game. This is exactly the game I want you to make. It's horrible, but do it. And we didn't think anybody would actually make a whole game from beginning to end totally original, but apparently some people did it, and they called it I'm Okay. And it's a perfect example of why I don't play PC games very much. We've always said I'm not the PC guy.
No, you're not.
Nate is the PC guy.
That's right.
So now I take this game.
I'm a little more forgiving when it comes to things.
A little bit. Now, we've talked about this, and so I don't want to go into it a lot, but what I like about console games, you buy your game, you put it into your system, if it's a cartridge, if it's a little slim card in your DS, if it's a CD, a DVD, some sort of optical disc, I don't care. You put it in, you press power, usually it'll turn on and work.
Yeah.
It's a fairly
usually.
Simple process. Now, maybe I'm just low level, maybe I'm not as advanced as the PC gamers, right? Because I don't want to fiddle around.
You kind of got to be up on what's out there and have it.
Yeah. Now, see, I'm thinking the I'm Okay game as interesting and perhaps unique.
Probably not the most high-tech game
exactly.
That you need to have.
Not pushing the limits of my PC, even my laptop.
Yeah, not too much.
And so I turned on this game, and it appears like they've taken the whole screen and they shrunk it down to a vertical resolution of, 400 pixels. So now I've got this very, very wide screen.
Wide screen. It only takes up about a third of your monitor.
Not even. I think it's a quarter. And so I can't really play it. It's horrible. I can't tell what's going on. I can't read the text. I can't. And I was very upset because it looked like such an interesting game. It looked like I was urinating all over dogs.
You were beating them up with a baseball bat and then shoot them with guns.
Exactly. You guys should certainly give it a try. Maybe it'll work on your computer. I don't know.
Apparently you fight a Mecha Mario. That seems kind of funny.
Really?
So, yeah.
I didn't. Not when I was playing.
Oh, I think it's later in the game.
Okay. Well, it was interesting. And the first boss you kill, their brains, the brains of several of the characters on the screen start just hopping around the screen. And per Jack Thompson's suggestion for the game, you have to urinate on their brains. So they're hopping on the screen and you're urinating all over them.
He said brain stems.
Well, there are brain stems connected to those brains.
All right, all right.
And then later on, it's really cool, too, because like the interim between when you're done with that level to the second level is you're not in a grocery store, but at a Best Buy, right? And there's all these people walking back and forth, and so it turns into a shooting game where you've got the reticle on the screen, and you've got to shoot the people, and then coins come out of them, and you shoot the coins. So, like, it's not just a palette swap of some Mario game or something. Like, it really is a whole game from the beginning to end. It's even got music. It's got storyline, cinematic frame stuff in
between.
Very
cool.
They went all out. I'm very impressed. Of course, I didn't play it past the first level because I discussed very difficult for me to play. I didn't put the effort into playing, on another computer. That would have been a lot of work.
I got sucked into playing, I believe it was on Slashdot, but it was the your McDonald's, and you have to sell things and put, like, you know, genetically altered food in the cows and stuff like that. I'm not a very good businessman, apparently, because about, 10 minutes in, I usually go bankrupt.
It looks
but maybe
like
that's what they're trying
between.
To do.
When I was looking at you play earlier today, it looked like a cross between The Sims and SimCity, sort of.
Something like that. All you right. have to, like, buy or build, I guess, people to manufacture your hamburgers and then, like, make cow pastures and pay off the mayor of some South American country so you can grow all your, genetically altered stuff.
I have a convenience store simulator for the Sega Saturn, an import game, but I've never actually played it. I have a feeling it's somewhat similar.
I'm sure it is.
I should show you some of the games I have for the Saturn sometime. I couldn't even tell you what it's called. Basically, it's you try to run a 7-Eleven.
Okay.
They've got some wacky games over there across the pond.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's very intensive.
Not much. No. Anyway, all right, so that's what I played this week. I actually tried that just last night, and I was a little bit upset about my experience with I'm Okay. You played your McDonald's game.
I played the McDonald's game.
But basically, yeah. We strayed away from console games. We're playing the niche stuff for a while.
Playing a lot of Flash games.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about Jay Allard. This is what I had mentioned before about the Microsoft hype machine. I think we only have a couple minutes left.
Well, you were a little angry when you came when I met you today.
There's an article, is it on CNET? I think it's on CNET, right? Where it's talking about how Jay Allard and Will Wright, I don't know if they got together or if they're just saying the same thing, but you might remember from GDC last year, Will Wright comes out, he talks about Spore. And one of the big things he's talking about how, there's so much effort going into games these days. We don't have enough time or people or money to develop the games, all the content in the games. And he noticed in The Sims, everybody's making content for them. People are building furniture and building houses and making the textures for things and whatever. And he realized so much content in the game isn't even produced by us. Why not let people produce the content for the game? And so Spore, one of the really cool parts of Spore is that when you're playing the game, you're constantly attached to a server, and it's getting information from games that other people are playing. Like, other people are playing Spore, and they're evolving their character.
And then your character goes on to someone else's game.
Exactly. You're constantly evolving, right, and finding new parts of the world and the new parts of the universe, right? And so when you interact with new creatures in the world, it's data that's been sucked off of someone else's computer that they've built.
I just can't help but feel like someone would just make, a race of just warriors who would just suddenly spread out and destroy everyone else's stuff.
Maybe. It'll be really interesting to see how
that
it turns out.
That will be interesting to see.
This is
going to
be one of the very valuable...
I know I'll be playing it as soon as I can get it.
It's going to be a very interesting thing to watch expand because it is a lot of player-developed content. But my point is, Jay Allard comes in here, and he's like...
Well, he gets his, buzzword, dictionary, and just kind of fills in the blanks.
It's like he broke out the Urban Buzz dictionary and says, this is what the people want to hear. This is it. So he says, gaming's the only medium where we yield control of the protagonist. That's his favorite word. That's his handle on Xbox Live is Hero Protagonist. Anyway, it's the only medium where we yield the control of the protagonist. Let's yield control of the director. And the producer, says Allard, the vice president at Microsoft, we're going to take on the Wikipedia model. We're going to take on the open source model, if you will, for gaming.
Wow, I can't help but feel all the synergy going around that guy.
Another good buzzword. Now, I used to like the guy. I have a pair of Puma shoes I'm wearing. And I first saw them on good old Jay.
Yeah.
He's all cool. He's young. He's in touch. He's styling. And I can't
not those shoes that you have, though, unfortunately.
I can't help but think. I like my shoes, by the way.
Listen, they're very awful.
I think he's like W. Bush, where the company, the man, put him there to look cool. cool and in touch and appeal to the people that they're trying to appeal to.
But they really just give him, like, say this.
But yeah, he really is just a puppet who's made to look that way, and he's just throwing out this marketing crap, and it's like, it finally got to me. I said, wait a second, I think he's 100% full of crap. Not just 50% full of crap, 100%. We're going to go to break. We'll be back with Rebecca Swanner from Penthouse in just a minute. We're back, everybody. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I'm Alon.
I'm Nate.
Excellent. So as I said, we've got Rebecca Swanner from Penthouse Magazine. But before we bring her on, I want to remind everyone that UAT.edu, great place to go.
That's right.
University of Advancing Technology. If you want to learn about games.
Got the art program.
All that stuff wrapped into one.
Yep, one nicey university-type nugget.
Exactly.
Of learning.
You going to graduate one of these days?
Next year.
Next year.
Yeah.
All right. We'll keep you busy. Interning at Chatterbox.
Yes.
Okay, so let's bring on Rebecca Swanner from Penthouse Magazine. Do we have her, Andrew?
Hello?
Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm good tonight.
Did you watch that game today? I think there was a football game on or something.
Was there a game today?
I heard there was a rumor that there was a game on. I think Pittsburgh might have won.
Really? See, that's what I thought was going to happen because everybody said the Steelers were going to take it. I got to be totally honest. I don't even know what happened.
I really didn't know who was going to play until you mentioned it just today.
I've been so busy. I was working, and then we got ready for the show. I don't even know who won, but I guess you're telling me Pittsburgh won.
There was a pretty crazy play where one of the players broke off and was running down the field and jumped over another one and basically rolled over his back, and I'd never seen that in football, at least in a professional game before.
That's fantastic.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
See, it's a good thing I have a TiVo, though. At least I can watch the commercials.
That's not really watching.
Spoiling the game for you there.
No, it's all right. I don't mind that much. Anyway, let's talk about you for a while. All right.
Okay.
First of all, you obviously, like we said, writer for Penthouse Magazine, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I am the music and video game editor for Penthouse.
All right. So can you tell me a little bit about what that really means for you? What's your experience with Penthouse, and what do you? I mean, you said music and video game editor, but how much input do you actually put into it?
My sections, I write 10 pages a month, and those sections are completely of my own creation. I have basically full creative freedom over whatever I want to put in.
So
it's a little bit different than other editors who usually have to go really back and forth with their editor-in-chief or their editor above them, and I basically can do any story that I want, which is great.
So when we say that there's a video game section every month, I'm not making that up, right? Like, there really is a whole...
There's 6 pages on video games every month.
Every single month. I don't know if all of our listeners know about that. Of course, lots of our listeners probably can't legally buy that magazine.
Maybe.
But you only have to be 18.
That's right. I'm sure they could just get it from a friend anyway.
I'm sure they could.
If necessary. I know that some of our listeners certainly do have access. Now, okay, so did you pitch this idea to them, or did they come to you and say, you know, we want you to do this project?
Did they pitch the idea of the 4-page adult arcade, the 25 sex games, to them?
Well, no, I want to talk
or
about
did the. You mean the whole section?
In general, being able to do a video game section in an adult magazine, it doesn't seem common to me, right? So somebody had to come up with the idea.
I think most adult magazines do a handful of reviews. Before I came on last year, they did. I believe they had a 3 or 4 page gaming section. They were essentially just basic reviews and a few products here and there. I sort of turned it more into a lifestyle section. So there's 2 to 4 pages on reviews, but I also threw in some handheld games. And then I also put another section into the joystick section, which is lifestyle oriented. We've had like the ultimate game room, girls of gaming, like women who game, and then this month we have the adult arcade, which is the sex game.
And now, I don't remember if it was last month or this month, you also had an interview with, one of the, not Suicide Girls, with the Ubisoft girls, what are they called?
Oh, the, kill,
Why
frag
can't
dolls.
We remember them?
Frag dolls.
The frag dolls, right?
Yes.
Okay. See, I was happy to see that as well. We don't get to hear, well, there's a lot of coverage of them lately.
Yeah, there is.
But I think this was actually a well-done one. It was pretty in-depth and got a lot of her opinions and stuff.
I sort of come from the aspect of I like to blend. I came from the Stuff and Maxim world, so I sort of like to blend that with, you know, more traditional journalism.
I do like to see, Penthouse does it slightly better than the other ones, but they don't just have a whole page of, you know, a bunch of stuff they're trying to sell and say, oh, look, get this video game. they do have, like, the whole spread. It's video games, and it's dedicated, and you know, okay, this is the, if you're looking at this page, it's because you're interested in that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not because of all the other crap on the page. So I do appreciate seeing that, that there's a little bit of dedication there. So thank you, first of all.
Sure.
So in this month's issue, I almost said episode.
Episode? Right?
In this month's issue, we've got the ultimate guide to sex video games. Now, this was your idea, or did they say, here, we want you to do this?
This is entirely my idea. I thought it would be a lot of fun for, you know, Valentine's Day was coming up, and I thought it would be a lot of fun for guys who, you know, either want to play sex games with their girl or are staying home alone on Valentine's Day and going, what can I do? I'll play some sex games.
Now, Nate, which group would you put me in?
I would say the latter.
Oh, okay. Thank you. It's always good to have support from my friends. Okay.
I'm trying to help you out as much as I can.
Now, admittedly, this is a good time, because I remember last year at E3, it was really the first time we saw that adult games were actually being shown on the floor. People were talking about, yeah, we're going to bring these out. It's going to happen this year, rather than just, like, buy them from the back of some magazine and nobody actually knows about it. But now, like,
right.
the first one you show here is Virtually Jenna. And you have a few more that I don't want to say are mainstream. Like, Leisure Suit Larry is mainstream, and there's a bunch of them, the Rumble Roses and stuff. But there are a few that are sort of coming out soon or haven't quite got caught the eye of everybody, but they're, I mean, they're the full adult experience. We've got
yeah.
Hookup 3D and Virtually Jenna and stuff. Now, did you actually put a lot of time into playing these?
I played every game in here. Which once I came up with the idea of reviewing 25 games, and I said, oh, and then I sat down and went, oh, wait, that means I have to actually sit down and review 25 games in 3 to 4 weeks. Okay, great. So it was a lot of fun. When it actually came down to it, some of the games, I tried to give a realistic, you know, like an honest opinion on, you know, both the gameplay and the sexiness of, you know, on both sides. Like, for example, some of them were kind of campy, but, you know, they were sort of sexy at the same time, like Field of Magic XXXY. I mean, it was a little, I don't really see, you know, like an 18-year-old guy really getting into it, but, you know, I mean, the minigames were fun for about a half hour. So.
Yeah, that game I was actually surprised to see in that list, because, I mean, I know it sort of goes that route, but it is sort of, it's also on a Nintendo system.
Yeah.
So it's right. kind of geared towards the younger crowd. Now, I was going to ask you,
although the new one, you do make a baby through a cake. It's kind of strange.
Yeah, I know that the new one is sort of taking more steps towards weird.
Yeah.
But I haven't gotten a chance to play that one, so I can't comment too much. Now, when you said you covered handheld games, I did want to ask, what was your reaction with the whole DS and the touching is good and the video game aspect there?
From a sex aspect or just a general gamer aspect?
Well, sort of both. Like, do you see that maybe evolving into an outlet for games of this type?
I mean, I think it definitely could. I mean, I think if Nintendo wanted to go the road, I think they're more oriented towards kids' games and family games, although I know that Resident Evil just came out on the DS. But even though they are, you know, oriented that way, I think that the whole touching is good with the stylus could really be great for the sex games.
Those guys in Resident Evil don't really like the touching too much of the private parts.
Now, did you know about that? In the Resident Evil game, you can touch the characters and they'll react to you touching them in the game.
I didn't know that. I haven't had a chance to get my hands
yeah.
on that one.
Well, so you can use either the male or the female character, and if you touch the female character in the boobs, she'll be like, ooh, and cover herself or whatever. Don't touch me there sort of thing. And the guy, you can rub his butt.
And Leon's like, what
are
you
doing? I guess I was thinking more dirty. I thought you were poking his butt. He was like going, oh, hey.
maybe it's a poke. I don't yeah. know. I thought I was just thinking of rubbing.
When I saw the video that you showed me, it looked like it was a nice jab. I was like, wow, look out.
We'll have to get our hands on an actual copy one of these days. All right, so
that sounds very funny.
So I'm looking at the couple of games, basically the ones that I haven't played. So first off, there's Virtually Jenna, and that, I think, clearly, like, that's not something you're going to go pick up in an electronics boutique. And
no, I mean, you can play it online. That's only playable online.
Okay, and then there's the Hookup 3D, same thing, online only, I believe. And what are some of these others? Singles for Flirt Up Your Life. That was half mainstream.
Yeah, that you can still buy that, I think, I know you could at one point buy it at a Fry's, but it's been gone.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think they put it out in the main.
It wasn't in the main. It was like in a special like kiosk
okay.
thing. But
so I wanted to ask about those games. Like the games that my listeners and I probably haven't gotten the chance to play. I'm looking
okay.
at Singles, Hookup 3D, Virtually Jenna, and there might be some others further down the list that I'm not noticing yet. Did any of them actually present a value to you where you would want to play them for more than just the 2 seconds to say, hey, that's weird?
Well, the Hookup 3D, as I said, once they get all the bugs worked out, I think it would be a lot of fun to play, you know, if you have say you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend who's also into gaming, I think, you know, say you had a long-distance relationship, I think that would be a really great use of that game. Like, you both could log on, you know, separately, and then sort of, you know, you can't be in the same room, but you can, you know, enact what you would do if you were in the same room. And you hadn't seen each other for a month, I think that could work out really well.
Right.
The singles, probably wouldn't recommend getting, just because of it did have relatively slow load times, and once you actually got into the action, it wasn't as hot as we all wanted it to be. I mean, see them naked, but it's not that hot. Just seeing, you know, pixelated girls making out, it's like, okay. And the graphics weren't as great as the number one rated game, which was Virtually Jenna.
That did get a whole one-page spread.
It did?
Virtually Jenna. We're big fans of Jenna. She actually lives here in the area.
Yeah, doesn't she live out in Scottsdale?
One of these days, I'll get her to come into the studio for a show, because she does a lot of video games. Anyway, we're going to go to break, come back, and we'll talk to you about some of the stuff that we normally talk about, possibly a little bit about Blizzard.
Yeah, a little bit.
I have some questions for you. So stay on the phone, and we'll come right back in just a couple minutes. Once again, we're back, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We've still got Rebecca Swanner on with us.
Hello.
Thank you very much. Now, I had suggested before the break about Blizzard. Now, Nate, you had studied this a little bit more than I did.
Well, okay, so pretty much what happened was a GM in the game, I guess a game master is the correct term for it, but he was going to report an online gay marriage. So no feisty, lady elves or male elves, you know, hanging around together, you know, saying they're married or anything like that. So they're pretty much condoning any, you know, gayish or other lifestyle.
Condemning.
They're condemning. Yeah.
The opposite of condoning.
I've been up way too late today. Anyways, and then Blizzard had stopped the advertising of a gay, lesbian, bi, transsexual, I believe I got that right, friendly club. They're like, you can't do that, can't say that, because it'll cause problems. So I kind of wanted to know maybe if you had anything, any thoughts on that?
I think that, I think the gamer community should be pretty open. I don't see why you should be able to stop people from doing, if they're unaccepting heterosexual marriage in it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I don't see any problem with accepting the other. It's a gaming community. They don't have any specific laws about it.
Well, they do, but it's more skewed towards, they don't want the people that are going to be saying, like, hey, let's kill those two fags who are, you know, getting killed or what, you know, or being all gay. But, you know, they're stopping the people that are, like, legitimately just trying to be, I guess, nice about it.
Yeah.
I just think it's becoming a little too PC.
Right. I mean, that seems a little bit, they're taking it a bit too far. I think they should be allowed to do what they, you know, want to do in a gaming atmosphere. If it gets, you know, into a, you know, threatening situation, then I think that the company should be able to step in. But I think otherwise that, you know, it's an open community.
So I think you're sort of on the side I was taking last week. We talked about this. Where I actually was talking over IM to a friend of mine before the show today, and he said, no, why should you be able to bring up anything about sexuality? And my argument was, it's a social environment with people who exist in the real world in real social atmosphere.
Yeah, just because the game is based around, I don't know, fantasy or whatnot, you should be able to bring up any other topic because it's a social game. You know?
Right.
If people are, you know, offended by that and stuff like that, as long as it becomes, not becomes to the point where, you know, there's, I guess, hateful words said, you know, I think it's good.
So, right. I mean, I think that's the point where people need to step in. But otherwise, you know, I mean, you're not only, you know, these events aren't only occurring that are non-fantasy oriented, but I mean, there's other real events that are occurring. You're going, you know, you're going out on missions, and I mean, you're getting food, and you're doing all those sort of things. And I mean, people do that in real life. You know, you have a goal, you have to get up, you have to go to work. I mean, those are all real things, and that's a social environment as well.
It should be fair game. And what's ironic here is that the games in your list this month, I imagine a lot of those have no issue with homosexual content, right, in the games.
Which particular games are you talking about?
Really, I'm thinking I could just take a dart and point at any of them, and it'd pretty much be part of the game. If it attacks the issue at all, it's probably not in a negative way.
Probably not. I mean, I think if you're touching on it at all, I think it's probably a positive thing. I mean, of course, you know, usually if it's two women, guys seem to always be turned on by it anyway.
Well, of course.
Well, yeah, I think that's a given.
That's standard procedure. I think even if we don't like it, we have to pretend we do.
Exactly. I think that might be in the guy's code of handbook or something.
Otherwise, you're then gay.
Pretty much.
that's the rule, and we don't want to look gay, because apparently Blizzard would get upset.
They would try and get us off the air, I think.
Exactly.
The Big Brother Blizzard will get you.
Yeah. I did actually have an email from a self-titled gamer.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gamer. He was thanking me for talking about that last week. He liked how we brought it into the open and talked about Blizzard. And they've had official response to this, too. But I was glad to hear your response to it, Rebecca. Now, there's a lot of other PC-ness coming out in the world lately.
Well, it seems that, you know, the game industry has kind of come under the political correctness microscope, you know, and everything's being, you know, watched on, and, oh, we can't do that, and, you know, there's too much sex and too much violence.
Especially since Grand Theft Auto and Janet Jackson.
Yeah, pretty much. But still, I mean, it seems like if there's one place that, you know, you can kind of have a more openness and not so much PC, you would think it would be the gaming industry and the gaming, you know, arena, I guess, if I can use arena as a term.
You're allowed.
Am I allowed to do that? But yeah, another game has just kind of come under fire. No pun intended, but Gun, the makers of Activision who made that, they are having a boycott by the, I have it right here.
The American Indian folks, the AAID.
Yeah, yeah.
Association for American Indian Development.
They're outraged that Gun it's using the inaccurate, harmful, and derogatory forms of American Indians, the depictedness.
So have there been a lot of boycotts against any of these adult-themed games, Rebecca?
The only one that I know that there's been, well, I believe that there was some backlash against BMX XXX at one point.
A little bit.
A little bit. And then I know one of the games that we decided not to put in was Custer's Revenge.
I noticed that.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that. I was like, why didn't they have that in there? That was like one of the first on the Atari.
So why didn't you do that?
Sort of personally found it offensive. We didn't want to promote it. We basically decided that we would have rather put in, you know, the amusing Metal Gear Solid 3 at the end than put in the offensive Custer's Revenge.
As fun as raping Indians is.
Yeah, as fun as offending an entire people, I'd rather talk about Solid Snake getting it onto the wood.
See, I've never even played Custer's Revenge, and, like, I didn't even know that's what it was about.
And the graphics are terrible anyway.
But, so. You know, you do have Beat 'em and Eat 'em, though, from the Atari 2600.
We did. So we didn't really need both.
Okay. And that's a legitimate excuse. I can accept that.
But the only other game that I've heard of major backlash against is, of course, you know, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, the whole hot coffee.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I think there's more backlash about these adult-themed games being crappy than from groups just claiming that they shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
For instance,
which is part of where I tried to put in, you know, the whole gameplay aspect, like whether or not it's worth playing. For example, God of War is definitely worth playing. It's not that sexy. Really, only that scene is that
it's
hot.
It's fantastic.
It's great.
Now, I do... Yeah, I gotta ask you a question here. I don't want to put you too much on the spot, Rebecca, but I noticed one thing I have to ask you about. There's Tomb Raider on the list. Certainly deserves to be on a list of sexy games. But now you have it listed as Tomb Raider for the PlayStation, PlayStation 2, Xbox, Xbox 360, PC, mm-hmm. Sega Dreamcast. So how exactly did you merge the gameplay elements from all the systems and decide on a single rating for the Tomb Raider game?
I was really just talking about the first Tomb Raider, and then I just wanted to list all of the platforms that Tomb Raider's been on.
Okay.
All right.
I did want to get an answer to that, because it was confusing. Because some of them sucked, and some of them didn't.
It might be like the game score on the 360.
Not so good.
Yeah. Supposedly, the new ones, I think they're supposed to be putting some effort into. I heard a rumor.
Yeah, that's the talk.
Everything I've seen looks incredible.
Say that again?
Everything I've seen so far on Tomb Raider Legend looks really, really good.
I'm excited to see how they chose to evolve after realizing that they'd gone down the tubes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the revelation, you know, when you hit the bottom, you can only go upwards.
Yep.
Right? And so I think that's what happened. They realized, okay, we need to revive this so that we can make more movies later and make a lot of money.
Well, exactly. And one of the things that they mentioned when I was seeing it was that they realized how far off they went from Angel of Darkness. They were like, we really need to bring it back to the heart of Tomb Raider, which is, of course, in the tombs, you know, where she's hunting for relics and, you know, she's in the jungle. So.
Yeah. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, that will be interesting to see.
Okay, so we have a couple minutes. I think, we have 1 minute now.
Two whole minutes.
Before we go to break, good. So I'm pretty much done talking about the Ultimate Guide. I do want to point out to everybody, as a reminder, Ultimate Guide to Sex Video Games on stands now. Not for too much longer. We're sort of at the end of the life cycle for the February issue.
Yeah.
But Rebecca writes for Penthouse Magazine every single month. And do you have other projects outside of Penthouse that you work on as well?
No, at the moment I just have time to work on Penthouse.
Man, if I could have a job where all I did was write for Penthouse Magazine.
That would be the ticket.
All right, yeah, I'll send you my business card.
Fabulous.
Then maybe they could start a podcast.
There you go.
The Penthouse Podcast. Oh, my God. New ideas. I got to go write some notes. Anyway, thank you very much for being with us, Rebecca.
Thanks
I really appreciate
me.
It. And maybe in the future, if you have another Ultimate Guide, we'll need to have you on.
I'd love to be. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. All right, so now next segment, we're going to talk about Gun. You started off the discussion here. Gun, well, why don't you take this one? You wrote a little bit about what happened here.
All right. Basically, the AAID was, they're boycotting Activision. I'm not how much share of Activision's profits are from these people, but they're going to boycott it anyways.
All right, AAID, just real quick, basically American Indian.
The Association of American Indian Development.
Yeah.
So, but pretty much just going to talk about that. It's kind of funny that they're boycotting Activision, yet, I guess not to be un-PC, but not a lot of black people attacking GDA for giving the wrong stereotype of all black people being, you know, drug dealers and gang members.
That is a good point, because, black people are all... They're drug dealers, apparently.
But, all Germans are Nazis. So, I'm sure we're clear on that.
All right,
so.
We got to go. We'll be right back in a second. Back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Nate's here.
Hello.
My name's Alon. We do this every week. If you want to know more about the show, head over to chatterboxgameshow.com, and I believe you can even go to chatterbox.name now.
I believe so.
I don't even know if I've done that, but I got like 14 new URLs the other day, and you go to my name, I think it'll go here, Chatterbox Game Show.
Very
Alon
nice.
Weissman, because I'm vain.
You are.
I'm vain that way. Go to dualscore.com. Anyway.
The only guy I know that actually has his windshield actually is a mirror.
You should have more. Andrew's telling me that doesn't work. Chatterbox.name. But it will. Give it like 10 more hours. I got all of those from Chatterbox Hosting. I didn't mention that, by the way, just so I could bring up Chatterbox Hosting. But I remember one thing I forgot to mention last week when we talked about it.
All right.
Was that the whole we sell domain things as Chatterbox, even though it's weird. It's all backed by Wild West Domains. It's some like really big company that's been selling this stuff for a while.
Oh, okay.
And I don't want people to think we're some fly-by-night operation here. We're the real deal. And I bought a ton of domains myself because...
Actually, I want to get some as soon as I remember that I should.
We should mention it on the air so people go buy them.
There we go. And then I can buy them from them. Yeah. And then they can make some money.
Exactly. Anyway, so if you need to, if you want to get hosting, you want to get domains, whatever, go to chatterboxhosting.com. Or you can go to 8BitBiz. They sell some stuff too.
Yep.
They're the ones who hooked us up.
They're the good guys. They were nice enough.
All right. And, of course, another sponsor of ours, UAT.edu, University of Advancing Technology, where you go to learn about making the games.
Yep. You got art programming.
Yep.
All that good stuff. I go there. Alon did it.
Did it once. All right. Now, we were talking about Gun. We were talking about the American Indians and how they don't like the game. Now, this is one of the few games that I, in recent history, finished, played through the whole game.
Yeah, it was a great monument to your success there.
Exactly. I must have been bored for a week. Truth is, it was actually kind of a fun game, as long as you only play through it once. I don't know if playing through it twice would be fun.
Yeah, it wasn't too good on side quest or replayability, you said.
I heard it really did badly on the 360. I think that's just because they basically just ported it and said, here you go. But
yeah.
Didn't really make use of it. But the point is, American Indians upset about this game. And I have the feeling, this is one of those situations like, we were watching a bit of the Kevin Smith DVD that I'm on last night. I wanted to show people I was in it, right?
All right.
And they talk about people... protesting some of his movies, right? And how they don't even watch them, they just protest them. You know how people do that,
yeah,
today, especially
yeah.
the Christian League?
Oh, yeah, like they'll attack games that haven't even come out yet.
Yeah, so I think what happened is the American Indians, they probably played like the first 5 minutes of this, and as soon as I played it, I was like, wow.
I would say even less. They probably just saw like the opening scene of the game, and that was it. That was enough for them.
I saw that, and I thought, wow, the American Indians are going to be really pissed off about this game.
Well, I think Activision, they kind of did something not so right. They weren't really front up about it. About like
up front.
Well, they kind of glossed over the fact that there's a lot of, you know, I guess, savage Indians in the game. But it is a Wild West game, so they're not going to have a lot of Indians, you know, in it that you're going to see just, like, kind of hanging around, being friendly and stuff like that. They kind of need that action, you know, sense.
The bottom line, though, what happens is, entrance to the game, they basically make the Indians look like, just like you said, a bunch of savages.
Yep.
You kill a bunch of them just needlessly. You
They have the audacity to try and take down a bridge that was in their land.
Yes. Horrible people trying to protect their way of life. And so you have to take them down. You mow them down like the Terminator, killing Indian after Indian after Indian. Excuse me, Native American.
Native American.
First American. Whatever the word is for them these days that we have to be politically correct. And but later in the game, you
realize
friends
that,
with them.
Yeah,
and
they're
like, they're
good, and you know, maybe the white guys are kind of being a little jerkish.
Yeah,
I
and
guess.
They're like, you know, why should we be friends with you? You sort of killed a bunch of our people. And it's like, let's forget about it. Let's be friends. And so basically, you become friends real quick with these guys again because you have a common goal of defeating the big bad white guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I don't know, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It's like, oh well, I'm half Indian, so being that I killed you guys, it's okay.
Yeah,
now.
Well, I never heard of anybody getting pissed off at Dances with Wolves, and it's essentially the same thing. Indians are bad. We kill a bunch of them. Oh, but now we're going to sort of.
But now it's interactive. So now that I play Gun, we're like, you know what? Maybe I should kill some Indians.
I guess. I just think they need to play through the rest of it and decide, not just look at the first 2 minutes and say, oh, we hate
and
it.
And be outraged.
To be honest, in the end, it turns out, my impression is that it's fairly realistic. I mean, it's a game, but...
Yeah, I'm not, you know, a historian,
speaking,
but historically accurate. I think it's fairly close.
I think they're just sort of bitching. Now, as usual, we have our friend Nathan Smart on the phone.
That's right.
Our advisor on political correctness. He's here, and he has an opinion of his own. Nathan?
Yes, Alon?
Yes.
Yes. Just wanted to say that, you know, this boycott is really just missing the whole point.
Okay. So, how's that?
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I love American Indians. I agree that throughout entertainment history, they've been portrayed as crazies, and I recognize the impact of Indians on the history of our great nation. I mean, their mistreatment in our nation's past is, you know, too often overlooked. I have a special affinity for their culture. I even have some Cherokee blood.
You have Cherokee blood, Nathan?
Yeah, in a vial in my room.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's...
So let's get back. How's the boycott missing the point?
Okay. The boycott talks about how this game misrepresents Native Americans. I've played the game, and I agree with how they are portrayed. The people who are getting the raw deal here are the white people. The white people in this game are shown to be villainous, stupid, drunken, gambling, whore-having fools. Even the Chinamen in this game are portrayed with more truth. It's just so stereotypical.
Wait, I can't really agree with that. Just because the villains are white doesn't mean that all villains are white. I mean, it's just when you do a game about America from that time period, most people are either going to be Indian or white, right? So sometimes the villains will be Indians, and sometimes they'll be white. The game does have it both ways.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not worried about them, you know, as villains. I'm not worried about that. It's the way they dress, the way they talk. They all look like they're from the Old West and not at all how white people are.
I mean, that's the setting of the game.
Yeah, the game was in the Old West.
Yeah, it's in the Old West. They're supposed to look and talk like that.
But I'm not saying that they aren't supposed to be that way. I'm saying that white people are portrayed as villains.
You just said that you weren't concerned with that.
Oh, okay. So you're going to use my past against me. People change a lot. I might say it one thing, like, you know, like I might think that cats are mean, and then a year later I might change my mind after having met a cat.
But you just said that... You can't make this considerable change in the span of just a couple seconds. You're going to look like a real hypocrite, dude.
Alon, just listen. Let's just get back to the boycott and talk about why it's missing the point.
Fine.
As I was saying, cats are portrayed as mean, villainous, gambling, whore-having fools. I've recently met a cat, and that is simply not true of their kind. Some cats, but not all.
Don't you mean white people?
What's that supposed to mean, Alon? What, are you racist against white people? Not all white people are villainous, gambling, whore-having
fools. Nathan, you're talking nonsense, buddy. This is a bit ridiculous. You keep changing your points, and you're not really using a lot of logic. I don't think anyone's following you here.
Typical. Just typical. Your racism is appalling.
I'm not a racist. I'm the Jew. If anyone knows about discrimination, it's me.
Well, then you should be offended by the game too, Alon. Jews are portrayed so wrongly in this game.
There aren't any Jews in Gun!
Oh, so there weren't any Jews in the Old West times. There's a real problem with this game.
All right. Clearly, I'm done with this discussion, Nathan. Thank you very much for once again presenting your side of the coin.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Let's move on from that. How do you segue away from something like that?
We need to intro music for my news segment.
For your news segment?
I think we need to start doing that.
I wanted to open the phones. I promised people. I said, we're going to
open the
phones.
I know you're
going to
say open the phones, and then you never said anything. So, like, you know what? I'm going to let you go with this.
I even during the break, I said, we're going to tell them right up front.
Right up front, what's the show?
So I could bring them to the phones. Skip news.
Never did that, though.
Because I asked them, how do you feel about Microsoft being the bitches? I wanted to.
Well, if you want to call in, please do.
We've got like 30 seconds. Nobody's on the line because I didn't tell them to call. Next week, listen, next week, just call. You can't next week because we're not on the air because of hockey. The week after that...
Call in.
Hockey, by the way, done after next week.
But then we have basketball.
Now, Andrew said something about... I don't believe him. Now they're on at 9 o'clock. It's less likely they're...
Anyways, on. News.
Okay.
News.
Let's get to the news.
All right. So Electronic Arts has cut its worldwide staff by 5%. So, I mean, that's kind of bum. You know, 300 employees, you know, not going to... You know, they lost their jobs. You know, and then other news, EK, quarterly profits dropped 31%. Oh, and Tiger Woods has been signed on with EA for another 6 years for an undisclosed sum of money.
Okay, so...
I'm not saying any of those are linked. I'm really just saying that's what's happened, you know, this week in the news. That's what's happening.
So cutting jobs, lost a bunch of money. Their stock's not
doing too great.
Incredibly well. It's not horrible.
No, it's still doing... It's good. I mean, it's just, like, maybe it's a time to buy before The Godfather comes out and then they skyrocket.
Exactly.
Again.
Actually, not a bad idea. So cutting jobs, losing money, but giving Tiger a bunch of money?
Yeah.
Maybe they got him cheap because he hasn't been in the news and he hasn't been winning stuff.
Maybe. He said he was going to retire too, so I don't know. Other news, 3D artist Sony Online fired for talking about the PS3. Kind of said the 360 was a little better. John Robinson, former 3D artist online, was fired. He was insinuating that the 360 was better on his blog in early January. Not the brightest thing to do, to talk about a dev kit on your blog online, because that is a public thing.
And then he was saying, you know what, basically I'm not going to be able to ever talk about anything ever, period. Because apparently
he's
fired.
Just kind of stupid, that's what I think. PSP, going to get a map functionality in Japan. No GPS though, so pretty much it's just a fancy map.
That is like Google Maps.
Pretty much.
I can understand the use because I have a map for GPS on my computer without a GPS module attached. It's still very useful.
Alright.
So, I can understand. Anyway, we're coming to the end of the show. The
are we?
Music is about to cut off and kick us. So, next week, recorded show. Week after that, live forevermore. We'll be back, everybody, next week. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to go to chatterboxgameshow.com and visit our forum.
That's right. See you next week.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.